الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اتل ما أوحي إليك من الكتاب وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته Respected elders, brothers and sisters in Islam, and my young friends, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed upon his best messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam His best book, the glorious Quran. And he ordered his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam to read this glorious book. اُتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ O my messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, read that book which is revealed to you. Read the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His beloved messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam ordered the whole ummah also to read this book. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says, Iqra'ul Qur'an. Read the Qur'an. Read the Qur'an. فَإِنَّهُ يَأْتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ شَفِيعًا لِأَصْحَابِهِ Because the Quran will come as the intercessor on the day of Qiyamah for those people who will read it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the best book upon his best Nabi for the best ummah. And he instructed his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly. And through the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he instructed the whole ummah to recite the Quran. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very clearly said, Iqra'ul Quran, read Quran. O my followers, read the Quran. فَإِنَّهُ يَأْتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ شَفِيئًا لِأَصْحَابِهِ. For the Quran will intercede on the day of Qiyamah for those people who read it. The Quran will intercede for those people on the day of Qiyamah who will read it. And in another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Qur'an hujjatun laka aw alayka. Quran on the day of Qiyamah will either be in your favor or against. So on the day of Qiyamah, Quran will be either in our favor or it will be against us. If we carry out the command of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, if we carry out the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the Quran will be in our favor on the day of Qiyamah. And if we ignore the command of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, then the Quran will stand against us on the day of Qiyamah. If the Quran stands in our favor on the day of Qiyamah, there is no possibility of we being deprived of Jannah. And if the Quran stands against us on the day of Qiyamah, then there is no possibility of our being granted entry into Jannah. So it is very important, my brothers, my sisters, that we connect ourselves to this glorious book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we fulfill its rights. And the first right of the Quran upon us is that we recite the Quran. This is the first right. First right of the Quran is that we recite the Quran. We recite the Quran regularly, we recite the Quran on a daily basis, we recite the Quran with utmost love and respect, and we recite the Quran correctly with tajweed. Learning tajweed, but not reciting the Quran. Being able to recite Quran very beautifully, but not reading the Quran, not reciting the Quran. Memorizing the whole Quran, but not reciting the Quran. The Quran will not be in favor of such people on the day of Qiyamah. The Quran will be in our favor only if we fulfill the rights of the Quran. And the first right of the Quran upon us is that we recite the Quran. And we need to recite the Quran regularly, on a daily basis, with utmost love and respect. And we need to recite it correctly with tajweed. Our aslaf, our pious predecessors, when it came to reciting the Quran, they were very, very particular. Very particular. Majority of our pious predecessors, those who lived during the time of the Sahaba Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, those who lived in the golden era, the time of the Sahaba Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, the time of the Tabi'in, during the time of Taba Tabi'in, during the time of the Aimmatul Fuqaha, Aimmatul Muhaddithin, and the pious predecessors, the Sulaha, the Mashaykh, till our day, their ma'mool is to complete the Quran once every week. Once every week. Our Mashaykh, they instruct us to recite one juz on a daily basis. The non-huffaz are instructed to recite one juz on a daily basis, and the huffaz are instructed to recite three juz on a daily basis, majority of which should be in the salat. So the non-huffaz should recite at least one juz on a daily basis, and the huffaz should recite at least three juz on a daily basis, majority of which should be in salat. Again, with utmost love, utmost respect, and with tajweed and correct recitation. So let us make a firm resolution that we will connect ourselves to the Quran from today, inshallah, if we have yet to be connected, and we will make sure that we recite at least one juz on a daily basis. And the huffaz should make a resolution that we will recite at least three juz on a daily basis. If we want the Quran to be in our favor on the day of Qiyamah, and if we do not want the Quran to be against us on the day of Qiyamah, then we have to do this. If we fail to fulfill the rights of the Quran will never be in our favor on the day of Qiyamah. And if the Quran is not in our favor, if the Quran is against us, then there is no chance of us being granted entry into Jannah. No chance whatsoever. So the first thing we need to do is to recite the Quran on a daily basis. Daily, Surah Yasin Sharif in the morning. Daily, Suratul Mulk and Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda anytime after Maghrib before going to sleep. Suratul Kahf every Friday, and one juz from the Quran on a daily basis, and Huffaz three juz. If we are, because we are lazy or because we are busy, unable to recite one juz on a daily basis, or the Huffaz are unable to recite three juz on a daily basis, then let us begin with three quarter, or maybe half, or maybe quarter. Let the Huffaz begin with two juz, one juz, half a juz. But let us make a beginning. Let us make a firm resolution that from tomorrow, Sunday, we will allocate time for the recitation of the Quran. We will allocate a portion in our minds, and we will make sure that on a daily basis we will recite the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, "Khairul amali ma dima alihi." The best amal and the best action is that which is carried out with regularity, with continuity. So let us make a firm resolution that inshallah we will recite the glorious Quran from tomorrow. And if we are able to begin from today, alhamdulillah. Those of us who are already reciting three juz, if we are huffaz, alhamdulillah, carry on with three juz. Those of us who are non-huffaz and we are already reciting one juz, alhamdulillah, carry on with one juz. Make intention to increase this recitation. But those of us who have yet to begin the recitation of the Quran, or sometimes we recite, sometimes we don't, let us allocate a portion in our minds and make a firm resolution that from tomorrow, come what may, I will make sure that I will recite the Quran. If not one juz, three quarter. If not three quarter, half. If not half, quarter. If not quarter, one ruku. If not one ruku, one verse of the Quran. But on a daily basis. Open the Quran. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir raheem. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, and close the Quran. If you cannot recite more, recite one ayah only. The following day, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, Bismillahir Rahmanir Raheem, Ar-Rahmanir Raheem. The following day, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem, Bismillahir Rahmanir Raheem, Maliki Yawmiddin. One verse, one verse, one verse, but on a daily basis, without fail. This one verse will become two, two will become three, three verses will become ruku, ruku will become quarter, quarter will become half, half will become three quarter will become one juz, and before you know, you will also be completing the glorious Quran in 1 week, inshallah. You will find barakat in your life. This one verse on a daily basis or one ruku on a daily basis will bring barakat in your life. And through the barakat that you will acquire as a result of reciting the Quran, the recitation of the Quran will increase. And not only the recitation of the Quran will increase, every ibadah will increase. The quality of every ibadah will increase. This is what is lacking in our lives, my friends. Continuity with amal. Dhikrullah is not in our lives. Tilawat of the Quran is not in our lives. The best form of dhikr is Quran. The best form of dhikr is the recitation of the Quran. There is no dhikr in our lives. Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu dhkurullaha dhikran kathira. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you who believe, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance. You will not find a single command in the whole Quran, in the entire selection of the ahadith of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that do this in abundance, perform salah in abundance, no. Fast in abundance, no. Spend in abundance, no. Only one, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu dhkurullaha dhikran kathira. O you who believe, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance. And what is the meaning of abundance? How much? 1,000 times? Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 1,000 times in 24 hours. Is that abundance? But if I remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 5,000 times, then I can say, I am remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance. Or do I have to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 10,000 times in 24 hours so I am able to say I am fulfilling this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In abundance, my friends, mean remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during every moment of your life. Every second of your life. Inna fi khalqi samawati wal ard wa ikhtilafil layli wan nahar la ayatin li ulil albab alladhina yadhkuruna Allah qiyaman wa qu'udan wa 'ala junubihim. The people of intellect, the clever people, are those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in three postures. Alladhina yadhkuruna Allah qiyaman, while standing, wa qu'udan, while sitting, wa 'ala junubihim, while lying down. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. The intellect, people with intellect, the clever people, the intellectual people, are those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the standing position, in the sitting position, in the lying down position. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma says that the tafsir of this verse is that the people of intellect, the intellectual people, are those who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every moment of their lives. Why? Because a person can have only three postures. Either he is standing, he is sitting, or he is lying down. There are no other postures. Only three postures. Either he is standing, he is sitting down, or he is lying down. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you should remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when standing, when sitting down, and when lying down. So it means, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. La yazalu lisanuka ratban min zikrillah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that your tongue should remain moist with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means your tongue should remain engaged in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all 24 hours. Because the dhikrullah of the tongue will make the heart zakir. And when the heart becomes zakir, the mind will become zakir. And when the mind is zakir, when the mind is always thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this person will remain alert all the time that this is what my creator likes, I should carry it out. This is what my creator dislikes, I should stay away from it. And when a person reaches this stage of zikr, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him the tranquility of the heart. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Remember, listen carefully. Bi dhikrillahi, only through the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will the heart find peace. Na dunya se, na dawlat se, na ghar abad karne se, tasalli dil ko milti hai khuda ko yaad karne se. Na dunya se, na dawlat se,
ना घर आबाद करने से. ए पर्सन कैन नॉट अक्वायर पीस ऑफ माइंड ट्रैंक्विलिटी ऑफ द हार्ट थ्रू अक्वायरिंग एंड अमासिंग लॉट ऑफ वेल्थ. ए पर्सन कैन नॉट अक्वायर पीस ऑफ माइंड ट्रैंक्विलिटी ऑफ द हार्ट बाय acquiring a big house, big bungalow, big mansion, becoming very wealthy, good clothes, good food. No. Na duniya se, na daulat se, na ghar abad karne se, tasalli dil ko milti hai khuda ko yaad karne se. A person will only be able to acquire peace of mind, tranquility of the heart by remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, that this is the only way a person is able to acquire peace of heart, peace of mind, tranquility of that. Allah bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. When you construct a sentence in the Arabic language, it should be Allah tatma'innul qulub bi dhikrillah. But the ulama understand the Arabic language that if bi dhikrillah is brought forward, and instead of saying tatma'innul qulub bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub, it creates emphasis. Only through the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do hearts find peace. So what we need to do, my friend, is to concentrate on dhikrullah and concentrate on the tilawat of the Quran. We need to be very, very regular in regard to our daily tasbihat. The third kalima, the first kalima, the istighfar, the salat ala nabi. We also need to connect ourselves to mashayikh. And if we have already connected ourselves to mashayikh, Then connect realistically, not only choosing somebody as your sheikh and meeting him once in a while, maybe once a week, once a month, and not carrying out his instructions at all. No, in his supervision, vision, we need to carry out the exercises slowly, so that the heart can become zakir. One type of dhikr is the dhikr of the tongue. The other zikr is the zikr of the heart. And the third zikr is the zikr of the tongue and the heart both put together. So there is a person who is saying, Subhanallah, 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 Subhanallah. His tongue is engaged in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the heart and mind is in football. Heart and mind is in food. Heart and mind is thinking about sinful activities. Heart and mind is in China, is in America. So only the tongue is engaged in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is also remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second is, the tongue is not engaged in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is sitting quietly, but his heart and mind is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the zikr of a higher category. That my Allah is watching me with lots of love. My Allah is watching me. My Allah is with me. He is watching me. He is watching every move. He is fully aware of me. This is of a higher category. So dhikr of the tongue, this is dhikr of the heart. And then there are certain people who, when they acquire this position, then they also remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the tongue. Because to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the tongue 24 hours is not possible. We have to talk with our wives. We have to talk with our husbands. We have to talk with our children. We have to talk with our colleagues when we are working. We have to talk about so many other things. So it is the heart that is able to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 24 hours. So we have one person who can only remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the tongue. We have another person who is able to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the heart and mind. And with the heart and mind all 24 hours. And when he is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his heart and mind, and with that he is also remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his tongue, then this is the highest form of dhikr. Because two organs of the body are engaged in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have one person who is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his tongue only. So only one organ is engaged. You have another person who is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the heart only. Only one organ is engaged. But the heart is more virtuous than the tongue. So the second form of dhikr is more virtuous than the first form of dhikr. And you have a third person who remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the heart and also the tongue. Two organs are engaged in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the highest form of dhikr. And we carry out this dhikr of the tongue, dhikr of the heart and the mind, and dhikr of the tongue and the heart both, so that we can, through these exercises, make our hearts zakir. And when hearts become zakir, my brothers, then whatever we are doing, whatever we will be engaged in, our heart and mind will always be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. the grandfather of Mufti Muhammad Taqi Usmani Sahib Hafidahullah Ta'ala and the father of the late Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, Murana Muhammad Yasin Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, he was the student of Shaykhul Hind, Maulana Mahmoodul Hasan Sahib Deobandi Rahmatullahi Alayhi. He narrates that when we were in the lecture of Shaykhul Hind, Maulana Mahmoodul Hasan Sahib Deobandi Rahmatullahi Alayhi, at so many times during the dars, we would, whilst listening to the lecture of the on Bukhari of Shaykhul Hind Rahmatullahi Alayhi, we would hear his heart remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we could hear two things simultaneously. One, through his tongue, the lecture on Bukhari Sharif, and the other, his heart with every pumping saying, Allah, 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 Allah. So a person is able to do two things at the same time. A person is able to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whilst engaged in anything. It's like a waiter. In the initial stages, he finds it very difficult when he is serving somebody. All his attention and focus will be on the tray. If somebody calls him from the right or from the left, he will not be able to concentrate in two directions. But when he works in the restaurant for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, then he will carry the tray on his hand like this, and he will look in this direction, he will look in that direction, he will talk to people, but his concentration and focus from the tray will not move away. So similarly, when a person exercises under the supervision of a professional sheikh, one who has already acquired the status of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then a time will come when his heart will begin to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he may engage in anything that he desires, but his heart will never become neglectful of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to be very, very punctual with the tasbihat on a daily basis. And if we have already connected to a sheikh, then we must follow his instruction. And the best form of zikr is the tilawat of the Quran. So let us make a firm resolution that inshallah, we will recite the Quran on a daily basis. And allocate something on a daily basis. If we recite Yasin Sharif every day morning, we will benefit nobody but ourselves. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi Wasallam has said that one who recites Surah Yasin early in the morning, man qara'a Yasin fi sadri nahar quziyat hawaijuhu, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fulfill all his needs of the day. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if a person recites Surah Yasin in the morning, and if he dies during the day, he will die as a shaheed. And if a person recites Surah Yasin during the night, that means any time after Maghrib, and if he dies during the night, he will die as a shaheed. Surah Yasin. And before going to sleep, recite Suratul Mulk, recite Surah Al-Islam in Sajda, anytime from Maghrib until you go to sleep. And these two surahs will save us from the punishment of the grave and from the punishment on the day of Qiyamah. And on Fridays, we should make a habit of reciting Suratul Kahf. We are going through the time and the era of fitna, all around us, fitna. And sometimes these fitna, they may take us away from the fold of Islam. So we need a very strong protection from this fitna. And the best form of protection is Suratul Kahf. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam has said that no fitna greater than the fitna of Dajjal will come upon my ummah. That is the greatest fitna, the fitna of Dajjal. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one who recites Suratul Kahf regularly every Friday, Usama bin al-Dajjal, he will be safeguarded from the fitna of Dajjal. So if the recitation of Suratul Kahf every Friday will save a person from the greatest fitna that is to come upon this ummah, the fitna of Dajjal, then we can deduce that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will save the reciter of Suratul Kahf on Friday from every type of fitra, inshallah. And again, same thing. If you find Suratul Kahf very long, very difficult to recite, then don't become lazy. Don't tell yourself that I'm very busy and one half or three quarter of a juz is very difficult. Begin by reciting one ruku every Friday. Every Friday read one ruku. Then when you get the hang of one ruku, increase it to two ruku. Increase it to three ruku. Increase it to four ruku. Inshallah, within 1 year, you'll get the grip of it, and in 10 to 15 minutes, you'll be able to complete Suratul Kahf. So recitation of the Quran, and then you can increase. There are so many fadail of so many other surahs also, but this is the basic. Each Muslim should recite Surah Yasir in the morning daily, Suratul Mulk, Surah Al-Islam in Sajda before going to sleep, Suratul Kahf on Friday, and at least one juz on a daily basis, and for Huffaz, three juz on a daily basis, majority of which should be recited in Salah. As I said earlier, the pious predecessors, majority of them used to complete the Quran in 1 week. In 1 week they used to complete the Quran. And during the times of the Sahaba, Tabi'in, Taba Tabi'in, the culture was that if you ask somebody, brother, how much Quran do you recite on a daily basis? And if he said 7 juz daily, if he said 10 juz daily, if he said 3 juz daily, if he said 1 juz daily, that meant he recited that portion in tahajjud. So our pious predecessors, they used to complete their ma'mul of the Quran in salatul tahajjud. So the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in and the Tabi'in and the Taba Tabi'in, when they used to recite 1/7 of the Quran or 1 manzil of the Quran on a daily basis, it meant they used to recite that portion of the Quran daily in salatul tahajjud. Daily in salatul tahajjud. Urwa ibn Zubair, rahimahullahu ta'ala, it was his practice to complete the Quran every fourth day. He would recite 7.5 juz daily. So every fourth day he would complete the Quran. And it is noted in his biography that majority of the day he would spend time studying the tafsir of the 7.5 juz that he is going to recite during the night in tahajjud. Why? Because he would like to recite it with tajweed, with correct intonation, correct pronunciation, but at the same time whilst understanding the message of the Quran that he is reciting. So he would spend majority of the part of his day understanding the Quran, and on a daily basis, and from the time he became Hafiz until he passed away, he completed the Quran every fourth day. He recited a quarter of the Quran daily. And there was only one day in his whole life where he missed his Quran, where he missed his tahajjud. Only one day. And that was when his leg was amputated. Only that night, that one night, from the following day he began. So he was very, very pious every fourth day. So majority of them used to complete the Quran on the seventh day. There were some like Urwa ibn Zubair rahimahullahu ta'ala who would complete the Quran every fourth day. There were others who would complete the Quran on the third day, reciting 10 juz every day. And there were others who would complete the Quran on a daily basis in tahajjud. Complete the whole Quran, daily basis in tahajjud. Sayyid ibn Jubair, rahimahullahu ta'ala, was one of these fortunate souls. Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullahu ta'ala, was one of these fortunate souls. Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullahu ta'ala, was one of these fortunate souls. Tamim Dari rahimahullahu ta'ala was one of these fortunate souls. These people were very, very busy, more busier than us. But despite that, they used to recite the whole Quran in Salat. Sayyid ibn Jubair rahimahullahu ta'ala, it is recorded in his biography that one day he entered the Kaaba and he began performing 2 rakat nafl, because it is sunnah that upon entry into Kaaba a person should perform 2 rakat nafl, because that is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. So he entered the Kaaba. He did not have the intention of spending the whole night in Kaaba. His intention was just go in the Kaaba, perform 2 rakat and come out. But he went into Kaaba and he began reciting the Quran from Suratul Fatiha and then Suratul Baqarah. And he completed the whole Quran in 1 rakat. He completed the whole Quran in 1 rakat, Sayyidina Jubair rahimahullahu ta'ala. And one day, one of his students met him. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam. How are you? How are you? From that he felt that something was wrong with the tongue of Sayyidina Jubair rahimahullahu ta'ala. He felt that his tongue was very heavy and it is as if he had a stroke, because he was finding it difficult to speak. So he said, are you okay? Is everything okay with you? He said, yes, I'm fine. Alhamdulillah, nothing is wrong with you. So he said, you're finding it difficult to speak. Your tongue is very heavy. He said, last night I recited the Quran more than my regular practice. So my regular practice is 30 juz. So more than my regular practice is what? 35 juz, 40 juz, 45 juz. So he said, how much did you recite last night? He said 75 juz. So he completed the Quran 2.5 times in one night. If we begin the Quran, we get tired after reciting one ruku. We get tired after reciting quarter. He completed the Quran and he had so much love for the Quran and he used to find so much enjoyment in the Quran that he began again. And when he completed the second Quran, still he did not get tired or he did not feel bored. He started the Quran again and he continued until he completed another 15 juz, 2.5 Quran, Sayyidina Jubair Rahimahullah Ta'ala. Imam Abu Hanifa Rahimahullah Ta'ala, Imam Shafi Rahimahullah Ta'ala, they would recite the Quran twice during the month of Ramadan. One during the day, one during the night. One during the day, one during the night. So Imam Shafi Rahimahullah Ta'ala would complete 60 Quran during the month of Ramadan. And Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullahi Alayhi would go a step further and he would read the whole Quran on the day of Eid and also on the night of Eid. So Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullahi Alayhi would complete 62 Quran every year in the month of Ramadan. And both these Imams throughout the year would complete one Quran on a daily basis. Abu Bakr ibn Ayyash Rahimahullah Ta'ala, great muhaddis, and Yahya ibn Sayyid al-Qattan Rahimahullah Ta'ala, great muhaddisin. 15, 20, 25, for 30 years. For 30 years, Abu Bakr ibn Ayyash rahimahullah ta'ala for 30 years, and Yahya ibn Sayyid al-Qattan rahimahullah ta'ala for 15 or 20 years. Every night, they completed the Quran. For so many years, imagine. Not missing a single day. So let us also make a firm resolution that inshallah we will also connect ourselves to the Quran. This is the first night of the Quran upon us. If we do this, my friends, inshallah, the Quran will be in our favor on the day of Qiyamah. And those of us who are unable to recite the Quran correctly, we should not give up. We should not think to ourselves that those times are gone now. No, fine, Qurra, Huffaz, mashallah. So many Qurra, so many good Huffaz and Ulama are available in all parts of the country. In one town, you find 300 Ulama, 400 Ulama, 350 Ulama. Try to connect yourself to these masajid, these madaris. And whilst trying to recite one juz on a daily basis, simultaneously, try to make your Quran better. Try to concentrate on tajweed. Because sometimes those of us who are very, very weak in tajweed, we recite the Quran in such a way that instead of bringing the barakat from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we become worthy of the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the first thing we need to do. Number two. Second thing, we need to understand the Quran. We need to understand. In order to bring Quran in our favor, we need to understand the Quran. And how will we understand the Quran? By sitting in the company of those people who are explaining the Quran. Alhamdulillah, the people in England are very, very fortunate that in the majority of the masajid, we have ulama, young ulama, who are explaining the Quran and the ahadith in English also. And alhamdulillah, we have the ulama of the older generation who are explaining the Quran in the Urdu language also. So we have no excuse. In the UK we have no, in places like Preston or Bolton or Leicester or Batley, we have ulama who are explaining the Quran. So we need to take out time, take out at least one slot for understanding the Quran. For example, if in Preston we have a program on Monday, another program on Tuesday, another program on Wednesday, another program on Thursday, maybe in the same masjid or in different masjid. In Jame Masjid Monday, Quwwatul Islam Masjid Tuesday, here Thursday, whatever the days the ulama are, try to choose the alim that you feel inclined to and just take that slot. That come what may, this day is to understand the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent this book with so much love, my friend. He has sent this book, he has sent this love letter to us. It's a love letter from the Creator, Allahu Akbar. It's a love letter from the Creator, and until now, I am 51 years old. Majority of us here are young, but there are many who have reached the age of 70, who have reached the age of 60, who have reached the age of 50. And those of you who are young, you are in your 40s, you are in your 30s, you are in your 20s. So many things we have read until now. So many articles we have understood until now, so many novels we have read through which we have acquired no benefit whatsoever. We read newspapers, we read this, we read that, but we have yet to understand the message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the love letter. Allah has shown so much love in this Quran, in this glorious book. Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, he used to say that Oh, the son of Adam, oh, the human, when a letter comes to you from a creation, so Ahmed writes a letter to me, Ibrahim writes a letter to me, my wife writes a letter to me, my mother writes a letter to me, my father writes a letter to me, my friend writes a letter, that's a letter of creation to the creation. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi says that when a creation writes a letter to you, it is a letter of the creation to the creation. And this letter contains either of two messages. Either it contains a message of happiness or a message of grief. It may contain a message of happiness that somebody is getting married or somebody has been blessed with a baby daughter, with a baby boy. Message of happiness, somebody has got engaged. Or it may contain a message of grief. Somebody has passed away. Somebody has had an accident. Somebody is very ill. Somebody is very sick. Somebody has been put behind bars. So whatever, message of happiness, message of grief. But Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi says that this letter contains message of limited grief and message of limited happiness. So after reading the letter, you will feel happy, but maybe for 24 hours only. Maybe for 1 week only. Maybe for 1 month only. That happiness will not remain with you forever. Or it may contain a message of grief, but limited grief. This grief will remain with you for a few hours, or 1 day, or 1 week, or 1 month, or maximum 6 months, or 1 year. He says that a letter of the creation has come to you, so letter of the creation to the creation, containing message of grief, but not permanent grief, not eternal grief. Temporary grief, limited grief. And it may contain message of happiness, but not permanent happiness, not eternal happiness. Temporary happiness, limited happiness. Despite that, you cannot sit in peace until you are able to know the message. I remember in my childhood when I was in my village, Boria, very small village, Boria. When I was in my village, a telegram used to come from the UK, from South Africa, from relatives. And those were not the days of telephone or mobile phones or fax machines. So people would send telegrams. And not a single person in the village was able to understand English. And the telegram used to contain maybe one line, one and a half line, sometimes two and a half lines. I still vaguely remember seeing those telegrams. I was very young. So whenever somebody used to receive telegram, the whole village used to gather in his house. That, oh, telegram has come. Telegram means something very, very important, very important message. Is it message of happiness? Is it message of grief? Has somebody passed away? So everybody would gather in that house, and one or two workers were sent to the nearest person who was able to understand English. 40 kilometers away, 60 kilometers away, 80 kilometers away. And until this person would not return with the tafsir of the telegram. And the message that this telegram contains, nobody would move from that house. That, what does that message? And you could see grief and worry and concern on the faces of everybody. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi says that this is your behavior and this is your attitude when it comes to receiving a letter from the creation. He says that a letter has come to you from the creator. Allahu Akbar. Letter has come to you from the creator. And Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi says this letter also contains two messages. Message of happiness, message of grief. But message of eternal happiness and message of eternal grief. Despite that, you have no time whatsoever to understand the message that the letter of the creator contains. So we need to, my friends, value the ulama who impart durus. It is not easy to impart durus of the Quran. It is very, very difficult to teach tafsir in Darul Ulooms, but it is also very difficult to impart durus here in the masajid also, in front of the musallis, although it is not as difficult as imparting the lessons in a Darul Uloom. So these ulama, they go through so many books, so many tafsir, and they spend 2 hours, 3 hours before they are able to prepare a dars of half an hour, three quarter of an hour. And when the announcement is made in the masjid that dars of Quran will take place, you see only 5 people, 10 people, 15 people remaining behind. My friends, just think to yourself that you are walking away from what? Are you walking away from the imam? Are you walking away from the alim? Are you walking away from the maulana? Or are you walking away from the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are you walking away from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the letter of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So this is my second appeal. We need to understand the message of the Quran. What does the Quran say to us? What does the Quran say to me? The message of the Quran. And the method of understanding the message of the Quran is to sit in the company of those ulama who have acquired the ilm of tafsir, who have acquired the ilm of the sharia, who have spent 6 years, 8 years in madaris, who have toiled, who have worked hard, and who are able to refer to the classical works of great mufassirin, and who are able to pick the fruits from these classical books and just present it to us in half an hour, three quarter of an hour. So make a firm resolution, my friend, that inshallah we will benefit from the ulama who are imparting durus. And also those of us who have the interest of reading books, we will also try to understand the Quran under the supervision of our ulama, our authentic, reliable ulama, who we know, under their supervision. We will ask them that I would like to understand the Quran. I'm a reader. I'd like to read. Can you please refer me to any kitab? And then they because they know you, you perform your salat here, you keep in touch with them, so they know your level. They know the level of your understanding as far as deen is concerned. So they will refer you to a book. Read that book. Wherever you do not understand, then you refer to the ulama. So this is the second thing we need to do. My friends, the ulama, again, the pious predecessors. There is a very great mufassir. His name is Imam Mujahid rahimahullahu ta'ala. He was the student of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhumah. And Imam Mujahid rahimahullahu ta'ala, seldom will you find a verse of the Quran where you will not find his opinion. Imam Mujahid says this. Imam Mujahid says this. Imam Mujahid says this. Imam Mujahid rahimahullahu ta'ala studied the whole book of whole Quran, studied the tafsir of the whole Quran from Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma direct. And Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma was the greatest mufassir that the ummah has seen. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made special prayer for him. Allahumma allimhu al-kitab. Oh Allah, teach him the book. So he became the mufassir of the Quran, the ra'isul mufassirin, the leader of all the mufassirin. He became tarjumanul Quran, the one who explains the Quran. Very great status of Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. Imam Mujahid rahimahullahu ta'ala studied the tafsir of the whole Quran from Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma. Now we need to understand that Imam Mujahid rahimahullahu ta'ala was a great scholar. He was a muhaddith also. He was a faqih also. He needed to study other sciences also. He was imparting the durus also, despite and looking after the family as well. Despite all his busy schedule, Imam Mujahid rahimahullahu ta'ala studied the tafsir of the whole Quran from Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, not once, not twice, not thrice, not five times, not 10 times, not 15 times, 30 times. He studied the tafsir of the whole Quran under the supervision of Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu, sitting in front of him 30 times. And here we are not even able to sit for half an hour or three quarter of an hour once a week. So let us make a firm resolution, inshallah. Allama Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullahu ta'ala, the great scholar, he says, رُبَّمَا تَعْلَاتُ عَلَى الْآيَةِ الْوَاحِدَةِ مِئَةَ تَفْسِيرَةٍ. He said, sometimes I would come across a verse of the Quran, the tafsir of which would not become clear to me. And in my heart, I would not feel comfortable or satisfied that, yes, I have fully understood this verse of the Quran. A great scholar, Allama Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, but he says that I would not feel satisfied that, yes, I have understood the message of this verse of the Quran. And he said, in order to satisfy my heart, I would study 100 tafsirs. I would refer to 100 tafasir. And I would refer. And summa as'alullah al-fahm. And I would ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for fahm. So on one side, I am striving hard in trying to understand the verse of the Quran. On the other side, I am making dua to Allah that, oh Allah, give me understanding. Oh Allah, give me understanding. And he says that I would turn to Allah and I would say, Ya Muallima Adam wa Ibrahim allimni. Oh the teacher of Adam, oh the teacher of Ibrahim, please teach me also. Teach me directly. And then he says, وَكُنْتُ أَخْرُجُ إِلَى الْمَسَاجِدِ الْمَهْجُورَةِ وَنَحْوِهَا وَأَتَمَرَّغُ فِي التُّرَابِ وَأَتَمَرَّغُ وَجْهِ فِي التُّرَابِ. He says that sometimes when I used to find myself unable to solve a particular verse, commentary of a particular verse of the Quran, then I would leave the city and find him a masjid which was inhabited. So nobody is there. He said that I would go into that masjid, which was dirty masjid, the plants have grown in that masjid also. I would find the corner and then I would put myself in prostration and I would rub my face on the soil. And I used to become, my state would become in such a way that Allah would feel sorry for me. And said, after that I would turn to Allah and I would say, Ya Mu'allima Adam wa Ibrahim Allimni. Oh, the teacher of Adam, oh, the teacher of Ibrahim, please teach me, please teach me. This is what our mashayikh and our elders and our pious predecessors did. So first of all, we need to recite the Quran. Number two, we need to try to understand the message of the Quran under the supervision of the ulama, through authentic sources. I always tell my young friends that Maulana Google, Mufti Google is very, very dangerous. It is not an authentic source of ilm. If ilm is correct, then deen will be correct. If ilm is incorrect, your deen will be incorrect. If ilm is correct, your amal, your practice will be correct. If your ilm is incorrect, your amal and your practice will be incorrect. So, to go onto the internet, and just because somebody sounds very good, just because somebody looks very good, because he is very eloquent, that does not necessarily mean that he is authentic. No, we need to know what his aqidah is, what his creed is. We need to understand from whom he has studied. We need to know his teachers from where they have studied. Because we have to look at the chain. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's ilm has come to us through chain. Whenever we come across a hadith, we say, this is hadith, this is sahih hadith, this is za'if hadith. So this is sahih, this is za'if. What makes a hadith sahih? If the chain is sahih, then the hadith is sahih. If the chain is da'if, then the hadith is da'if. It is the chain we have to look at. If the chain is authentic, then the ilm that will reach us through that person is authentic. And if the chain is unauthentic, then the ilm that will reach us through that person will be unauthentic. And there are so many doctors today who have become scholars and ulama, they have no chain whatsoever. So if the chain is there, an authentic chain, ilm is authentic. If the chain is there, but unauthentic, ilm is unauthentic. If there is no chain, there is no ilm. If there is no chain, there is no ilm. Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin rahimahullah ta'ala used to say, Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala has quoted him in his sahih, إِنَّ هَذَا الْعِلْمَ دِينٌ فَانْظُرُوا أَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ. This ilm is deen. Ilm is deen. Ilm is deen. Ilm is correct, deen is correct. Ilm is wrong, deen is wrong. This ilm is deen. فَانْدُرُوا أَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ. So be very, very careful from whom you take your ilm. Be very, very careful from whom you take your ilm. The person you take your ilm from has to have an authentic chain leading to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. There are so many people who have no chain. So their ilm cannot be recognized. It is not authentic. There are so many people who have chains, but within those chains, there are people whose aqidah is not correct, whose ideology is not correct, whose thinking is not correct. Again, that ilm is not reliable. And there are other people, alhamdulillah, who have chains and whose chains are authentic. Each person in the chain, his aqidah is correct, his ideology is correct, his thinking is correct. It is according to the teaching of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is only this ilm that is authentic. So that is the second thing. And finally, third thing we have to do is to practice. So we need to recite the Quran, we need to understand the Quran, and finally we need to practice the Quran. I will just quote one incident, how our pious predecessors, Allahu Akbar, regarding Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a narrator of the hadith says, that kana Umar waqafan inda kitabillah. Umar radiallahu anhu would stop at the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You show Umar something that, look, this is what Allah says. Then whether he was very overcome with happiness, overcome with anger, overcome with sadness, because when a person is overcome with anger, he forgets the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He forgets realities. He is in another world very, very angry. Or sometimes overcome with happiness, a person forgets the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He forgets the environment he is in, who he is dealing with. Sometimes in grief also, a person forgets the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar radiallahu anhu, in every circumstance, if the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was put forward to him, then he would immediately stop. There is an incident regarding Umar radiallahu anhu, Hurr ibn Qais rahimahullahu ta'ala, he is the narrator. He says, my uncle came to Madinah Munawwara, and I was amongst those people who were very close to Umar radiallahu anhu. So my uncle said that you are very close to Umar radiallahu anhu, so arrange a meeting for me with Umar radiallahu anhu. Hurr ibn Qais rahimahullahu ta'ala thought that my uncle has come and he probably just wants to meet Umar radiallahu anhu because he's a great personality. So he went to Umar radiallahu anhu and he arranged a meeting for his uncle. As soon as the uncle met Umar radiallahu anhu, he started scolding Umar radiallahu anhu. And he became very angry on Umar radiallahu anhu and he started criticizing Umar radiallahu anhu. He was an old man. He said, you are like this and you are like this and you are like this and you are like this. So Hurr ibn Qais rahimahullahu ta'ala was taken aback, because he did not expect this to happen. He was so close to Umar radiallahu anhu, and he understood the position of Umar radiallahu anhu, whereas his uncle did not. And he could see the change coming on the face of Umar radiallahu anhu. So he said, Ya Amir al-Mu'minin. He said, oh Amir al-Mu'minin, pay attention to me, not my uncle. Khudi al-afu, wa amr bil-urf, wa arid anil-jahilin. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, forgive people. Khudi al-afu. Forgive people. Allah says, وَأَمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ, and call people towards good. وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ, and turn your face away from ignorant people. وَإِنَّ هَذَا مِنُ الْجَاهِلِينَ, and my uncle is also from ignorant people. He said, the anger of Umar radiallahu anhu subsided. It is not easy to control anger. The anger of Umar radiallahu anhu subsided. And Hurr ibn Qais says, كان عمر وقفا عند كتاب الله. Whenever you put the kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in front of Umar, Umar would immediately stop. This is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we need to do. Practice. So whatever we understand, we practice. Let me narrate one interesting incident, another incident. Imam Zainul Abidin rahimahullahu ta'ala, the son of Hussein radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he had a slave girl. So he said to the slave girl, I want to prepare myself for salat, so prepare water for wudu. And he was, maybe it was a day of Eid or it was Friday, he was going to go to the masjid. So this slave girl, she came with a utensil made of clay. And when she came near Imam Zainul Abidin rahimahullahu ta'ala, the utensil fell from her hand and it broke. And it made Imam Zainul Abidin rahimahullahu ta'ala's clothes dirty. So you could see the anger on his face. It was very visible. So she knew. She knew, you can see the weak point of Imam Zainul Abidin rahimahullahu ta'ala. So she said, oh my master, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Jannat is prepared for the muttaqeen. And which muttaqeen? She said, those who have these qualities. الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّى وَالْضَرَّى وَالْقَادِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ, those who swallow anger. Jannat is prepared for those people who are muttaqeen, and muttaqeen have these qualities, وَالْقَادِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ, who swallow anger. So Imam Zainul Abidin rahimahullah ta'ala said, قَذَمْتُ غَيْظِي, I have swallowed my anger. So she said, Allah further says, Jannat is prepared for those people, وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, who forgive people. So he said, أَفَوْتُ عَنْكِ, I have forgiven you. So she said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further says, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, Allah loves those people who do good. So Imam Zainul Abidin rahimahullah ta'ala said, أَنْتِ هُرَّةٌ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ, go, I have freed you for the pleasure of Allah. And freeing a slave girl in those days was a fortune. Allah loves those people who do good. He said, okay, I also want to become from those people who do good. Go, I have freed you for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how much they used to follow the Quran when they were angry. So imagine in their normal happy moods how much they used to practice the Quran. If we do these three things, my friend, reciting the Quran, but again I'm emphasizing tajweed also. You have good qurra here, mashallah. MashaAllah, if the tilawat was heart rendering in salat, after salat, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant more barakah to our Qari Sahib. With tajweed, at least basic tajweed. or at least try to bring tajweed in our life, so on the day of Qiyamah we will be able to say that, oh Allah, I did try. We have a Qari coming from Sarkesar, Qari Siddiq. Majority of you are aware of him. The teacher of Qari Siddiq Sahib, Hafizahullahu Ta'ala, is Qari Anis, Rahimahullahu Ta'ala. And his teacher is Qari Muhammad Sabiq, Rahimahullahu Ta'ala. And his teacher is Qari Abdul Malik, Rahimahullahu Ta'ala. Qari Muhammad Sabiq, Rahimahullahu Ta'ala, stayed in the company of his teacher, Qari Abdul Malik, Rahimahullahu Ta'ala, learning only riwayah of Hafs for 15 years. It took him 15 years to learn only riwayah of Imam Hafs, Rahimahullahu Ta'ala. 15 years. But he did not get tired. What we are being asked is to learn basic tajweed at least, so that it is acceptable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At least Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not say that you are not reciting Quran correctly. 15 years riwayah of Hafs. And then he became such a great Qari that a time came when after the partition, when Qari Abdul Malik rahimahullahu ta'ala, when he said, I am migrating from India to Pakistan, everybody gathered around him in Lucknow. And they said, no, you cannot go. You are a great Qari. So he said, no, I have made a firm resolution. I am going to Pakistan. After my departure from Lucknow, those of you who love me and who revere me, if you feel like seeing me and if you feel like listening to me, then go to my student Muhammad Sabiq. In him you will see Abdul Malik. And that Qari Muhammad Sabiq, he prepared a student, Qari Anis, who came to Madrasa Falahi Darin in Sarkesar, and through him so many good Qurra came into existence, and through his Qurra, through the students of Qari Anis, so many other good Qurra came into existence, and this is one of the many groups of Qurra who are serving Qira'ah and Tajweed throughout the world today. So 15 years learning just riwayah of Hafs. Why? Because this was their objective. So, recitation of the Quran with Tajweed. Number two, understanding the Quran. Let us sit in the company of the ulama. And number three, whatever we have learned so far, abstaining from bad and carrying out good, that is all from Quran. And from the first commentary of the Quran, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My friend, if we will do this, then Quran will be in our favor on the day of Qiyamah. Quran will not be against us on the day of Qiyamah. And when Quran is in our favor, Quran will intercede for us on the day of Qiyamah and will be granted entry into Jannah. And if we do this, then even in this world, my brothers, we will succeed. وہ زمانے میں معزز تھے مسلمہ ہو کر ہم خار ہوئے ساری کے قرآن ہو کر. We have become disgraced in this world today, the Muslim Ummah, Muslim nation, Muslim community, because we have neglected the Quran. And the Sahaba Rizwanullah Ta'ala Alayhi Majmain, they became revered in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they took hold of the Quran. Quran was all the time in their hearts. It was on their tongues. It was in their lives. They were living Quran. So if we also read the Quran, understand the Quran, follow the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show us and the ummah glory again, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه
أجمعين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد، الله الصمد، لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس. الملكِ وَلِلَّهِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ اهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون صدق الله العظيم.